Well, first of all, let me state this as directly as possible. If these automatic across the board cuts are triggered, they don't actually start to happen until January 2nd, 2013. So they're not immediate, and nobody should panic that their budget that they haven't even may not have even received yet will be cut further immediately. All right, that's the first thing. Second, the way the legislation reads, that is the way the legislation that set up the super committee reads, is that if it can't come to an agreement, or if whatever it agrees to isn't approved by Congress by this Christmas, then you have up to $1.2 trillion in cuts, half from defense, half from domestic. It works out to the numbers will change a little bit, but let's say somewhere between an 8% and 9% cut over 9 years. Now, the better question you should be asking is, does this mean every single program gets cut by the same amount, the way Graham Rudman used to do? And the answer is we don't know, because the legislation is silent, but we do know the amounts.
And we also know that one Congress can't really bind a future Congress, so even if the super committee does not come up with an agreement, that doesn't mean the next Congress can say, well, we don't like sequestration, we're just going to try something else.
Well, even first of all, that's exactly right. But even more importantly, I think what happens if and when the – and I call it the anything but super committee – if it fails next week, which it looks like it's going to, we're going to spend the whole next year talking about how to avoid the sequester, how to avoid sequestration. That is, the president will submit a budget, or it's likely will submit a budget in February, that will have his plan for avoiding sequester. That is, an alternative way to reduce the deficit. Republicans in the House certainly will come up with their own plan, and there'll be multiple attempts at doing it. So most of next year will be about the budget. Most of it will be about avoiding a sequester. Some of it may even be reversing a sequester so that one or more parts of the budget aren't affected. You've probably heard there's a big effort by some members of Congress to prevent cuts in defense, for example. But that's what all next year is going to be about. My guess is we won't know until a lame duck session a year from now whether or not sequester is actually going to occur.
But wait, sequestration is the incentive for the super committee to succeed. They have constituents too.
That's true, but this is one of the great, I'm going to call it ironies, but it's really kind of pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. On the one hand, we cut a deal creating the super committee and the sequestration so that we could get a debt ceiling done. You remember that was what we did back in August.
Right.
Now there are a lot of people saying, well, you know, the sequestration, it's too much, it's too big, it's too fast. Maybe we should rethink it. In other words, we might get nothing. We might get no super committee deal and no sequester. And that's, I can tell you, because I have a lot of clients on Wall Street, that's what they're worried about, which is they don't much care whether the super committee comes up with a $1.2 trillion deficit reduction plan or whether a sequester occurs, as long as it's one or the other. But if neither happens, Wall Street's not going to be really happy.
We're speaking with Stan Collender, a partner at Corvus Communication. And those folks on Wall Street, love them or hate them, they're not fools. And we should probably frame this even a little bit more closely, because we're talking about, as you said, 8 or 9% across-the-board reductions if it happens. But that's only of the discretionary part of the budget. And Medicare and Medicaid, Social Security, and interest on the debt will continue to rise. So even with sequestration, federal outlays as a totality will still go up. Is that correct?
Oh, sure. I don't think that this is $1.2 trillion over 9 years. I mean, it sounds like a tremendous amount of money, and obviously in a nominal sense it is. But compared to the total amount the government will spend over that period, the budget's already $4 trillion a year and will go up every year just for the reasons you mentioned, especially if interest rates start to rise, it's actually a relatively small part, and maybe only 25% of the overall deficit problem that we'd have that we're going to have to deal with. So spending will go up. At least on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and some of those other so-called mandatory programs. Everything else might, be kind of stay flat during that same period.
So what is it that agencies then need to be waiting for, watching for? I'm going to assume, let's operate under the assumption that these cuts are going to come, whether it be by the super committee or by sequestration. What should they be looking for over the coming weeks and months and bracing for?
Yeah, well, it's exactly the right question. We're going into a period. I mean, whether it's regardless of who's president or who's in control of Congress, we're going into a period of Congress where agency budgets are going to be constrained, where federal workers are going to be asked to do more with less and to be more innovative than they've ever been before. Don't expect, unless there's some sort of a natural or other type of disaster that requires, federal activity far beyond anything that anyone's currently anticipating, that you know, don't expect that there are going to be big increases coming anytime soon. It's just the environment's not going to be there, and it's going to challenge every federal manager to, you know, to be able to make recommendations about how to do things in ways that they've probably never done before, whether it's technology or whether it's more productivity from existing workers. You know, those are the big challenges, and so waiting to be told that is probably going to be counterproductive. It's more important. It's going to be more important now. It's going to get out in front of this wave that's coming.
Yeah, some federal managers are saying that they are modeling different scenarios for the budget. And what I've heard a lot of lately is they are looking for duplicative efforts within their agency or even with other agencies because they feel they've trimmed as much fat for what they're doing now. So it sounds, would you say modeling is a pretty good approach to anticipating this future?
Whether you call it modeling or a scenario or just war games, basically budget war games, the question is, if your budget was reduced by 5%, by 10%, let's say, what recommendations would you make? And I'm not sure, quite honestly, that given all the efforts that federal employees have made and federal managers have gone through in recent years, I'm not sure that just eliminating duplicative programs is going to do it. It may very well be that agencies are going to have to start recommending that they stop doing some things. Now, those will be vicious fights, both within the agencies and up on the Hill, and even with OMB and Congress, you know, but those are the kinds of tough decisions that may have to be made, you know, or likely to have to be made over the next decade.
And you're with Corvus Communication. I've got to ask, are you looking for anything in particular? Are you cheering for one side or the other?
No. First of all, as a budget analyst, I'm trying to call it as straight down the middle as possible. I'm generally considered a deficit hawk, and I think there are going to have to be changes. But honestly, from a bottom line perspective, what I'm looking at, again, just from my budget background, is it's going to have to be an increase in revenues as well as a decrease in some spending. It's going to have to be a combination of both for political and other reasons. That is, we couldn't do it all through tax increases, and we can't do it all through spending cuts. I mean, the support just isn't there if you look at any of the polls. What the average American is saying is not that they want less government, but just that they want government to cost less. And they're going to be asking federal managers to become magicians in some ways, to do things that the average person can't do with their own budget at home.
Well, I know we're just about out of time, so very, very briefly, the follow-up to that is how to get these people in this committee to come to some sort of agreement. How would you, if you were in charge, make that happen?
Well, I'd like to lock them in a room and not let them go to the bathroom until they come up with a deal.
Well,
basically,
that's brilliant.
And give them lots of water to drink in the meantime. But honestly, there was nothing I think anyone could do, and I thought this was doomed to fail from the moment it was created.